The Greatest Day, the story of Kerry's 36 All-Ireland football titles. Brought to you in association with Kerry Group, proud sponsors of all inter-county GAA teams.
Episode 29 of The Greatest Day, the story of Kerry's 36 All-Ireland Senior Football Championship victories, recalls the 1985 season. Despite being reigning champions, the Kingdom were once more felt to be there for the taking. It was all the motivation necessary for this Kerry outfit to prove their critics wrong. During the course of this programme, we'll reproduce extracts from the Kerryman newspaper. Gary O'Sullivan's will be the voice you hear each time.
Part 1.
When Kerry took to the field for the 1985 opener against Limerick, they did so with 13 of the All-Ireland final winning side of 84. Owen Liston was unavailable as he was out of the country. John Egan was also missing. Mikey Sheehy was back in after missing the previous season's All-Ireland final due to injury. Timmy Dowd, a sub in that final of 84, also started against Limerick. Sean Walsh returned against Limerick, having been out since February with an ankle injury. Kerry eased to a 218 to 19 points win over Limerick, a scoreline which doesn't tell the full tale of the encounter. Well, the first half anyway. The Kingdom were only 2 points ahead, 5 points to three, entering the final 10 minutes of the half. A Jack O'Shea goal at that stage, scored after a 1-2 with Timmy O'Dowd, put Kerry five in front. Further scores from Ogie Moran, Pat Spillane and John Kennedy had Kerry 1-8 to 4 points up at the break. Kerry had recorded 12 wides in the opening half and should really have been out of sight by the short whistle. Sean Walsh's injury woes continued against Limerick. He was forced off soon after the restart with an ankle problem. Jack O'Shea got his and Kerry's second goal approaching the quarter-hour mark of the second half. Just as when Jacko netted in the first period, he played a 1-2 with Timmy Dowd before goaling. The game petered out after that. Ahead of the Munster final versus Cork, Kerry played a squad challenge match, the A's versus the B's, to mark the opening of the Kilcommon pitch. Mick O'Dwyer said such outings were as good as any challenge matches.
Exactly. We rarely ever played a challenge game. I don't think challenge games are any benefit, to be very honest. I mean, you can have great games here in Kerry because you can get a second team in Kerry that would play for any other county. And we had very, very competitive games in Killarney when we were in there. The trial games on the Monday night before All-Irelands or before Munster finals or whatever that were played like championship games. And every time we played a game in Killarney or Tralee or wherever, those games that we played, they were real championship games. I mean, players gave 100%, and that's the reason I suppose they were so good. Massive crowds, yeah. We never closed the gate in Killarney or Tralee. People ambled in and came in and out there. They came from all over the country actually to watch us train in Killarney. We had no secrets.
Owen Liston was back in for the Munster final, Timmy Dowd making way. Sean Walsh's injury ruled him out, so Tom Spillane moved to full back, with John Higgins coming in for his debut. Kerry opened the scoring through Owen Liston, but Dave Barry and Teddy McCarthy had Cork 2-1 ahead on 12 minutes. Kerry then went in front.
Tom Spillane now, certainly now well established. The Kerry centre half back is being dominant today. He's full back though, and he's doing well at the edge of the square and going way back now. Ambrose O'Donovan plays it inside. Now Kerry are beginning to move into motion. Owen Liston now plays it outside here, and this is a great run for Kerry. Can they get something out of this? This is John Kennedy. John Kennedy working inside the Pat Spillane. Again with his back to goal. Pat launched it aside. It's a great point reaching from Pat Spillane.
Yeah, another typical Pat Spillane point. He was at the end of that lovely passing movement. 3-4-5 Kerry players, and Pat Spillane was away out in the wing all on his own. And when you give that man a bit of room, when you let him in a position like that with his right leg, he popped the ball over the bar. That was an absolutely superb point.
Ambrose O'Donovan wins the breakout in the middle of the field again and sets Kerry in motion again, and Owen Liston, and now Owen Liston drives it inside to Mikey. Mikey Sheehy with his back to goal, just like Spillane, and another brilliant score this time from Mikey Sheehy.
Mikey Sheehy, poetry in motion, one of the great all-time forwards in Gaelic games, you could say, the way he kicks those points. And when Bama Liston got the ball coming out, saw Mikey Sheehy, gave it to him, and Sheehy from 55 metres out simply floated the ball over the bar. What a wonderful stylish this man is.
23 minutes into proceedings, Dave Barry equalised at 3 points each. Cork, though, were level for only 1 minute.
Jack O'Shea now, in the right half-back position, losing possession, getting it back again. Pat Spillane dodging one tackle. He might dodge two, and away he goes. What a sprinting run by Pat Spillane. Now he's gained about 40 yards. Spillane releases this. He was taken out of it just as he released it. Hit inside to Jack O'Shea. Jack O'Shea with the kickoff to crossbar inside, and Owen Liston surely finished into the net from the bomber.
Oh, an absolutely superb Kerry goal, a typical Kerry goal. Pat Spillane, he cut through the whole defence like a knife through butter. He was soaring the tip of no hair, that's what he's known as, down around Kinnairney. He went right through, and when he was just had released the ball, he suffered a heavy tackle. He's going to be all right, Kerry. He's down at the moment, he's getting up now. But he went off in that wonderful solo here, passed the ball inside, and it was taken by, I think it was Jack O'Shea. It was indeed. Jack O'Shea hit an absolutely rocket of a shot. It came back off the crossbar. The bomber Liston was waiting. He was on and punched the ball into the back of the net.
Cork hit back. Points by Coffey and Jimmy Kerrigan, making it a 1-point game. Kerry 1-3, Cork 5 points. A Mikey Sheehy score 2 minutes from half-time was responded to by another Coffey point for Cork. There was the minimum between the sides at the break. Kerry led 1-4 to 6 points. Mikey Sheehy was not having the best of days, with many of his frees failing to find the target. He more than made amends in the 3rd minute of the second half.
Mikey was soon to make amends for any such discretions as he bestrode the scene like a colossus to hammer home the second and most important of Kerry's brace of goals in this decider. And he did it with a flair and a flourish that is the hallmark of this great player. John Kennedy it was who triggered off the defence-splitting movement. He transferred the ball to the bomber Liston and it passed quickly from him to Pat Spillane and Ogie Warren. The Bale man could have essayed a score of his own in front of the Cork post, but instead he slipped the ball to the waiting Sheehy, and quicker than it takes to tell, Mikey sent goalkeeper John Kerrins going the wrong way as he stabbed the ball to the open net. A goal worthy of champions and befitting the skills of the men who helped to weave it.
Jack O'Shea then pointed to make it 2-5 to 6 points. Tony Nation pulled it back to 2-5 to 7 points in the 42nd minute. Ambrose O'Donovan's muster final ended prematurely when he was stretchered off in the 47th minute following an off-the-ball incident with Teddy McCarthy. O'Donovan says he was knocked unconscious.
I remember when Johnny wake you up inside I was under Parker Cave in the dressing room. Jeez, I was out for a while and I just woke up. Dr. Dave was with me, Dr. Dave Ganey. And Dave said, well, he said, I think you have nothing broke anyway. But I didn't get to go for an X-ray. But just under the jaw. I got a couple of stitches under the jaw. But I was hit perfect. It was on the button, as the fella says.
Subsequent points from Pat Spillane and Ogie Moran gave Kerry some much-needed breathing space. It was now 2-7 to 7 points. After Cork put over, Kerry did likewise, with the Kingdom goal then under threat once more.
And loses possession. Colomoni trying to set a player going through. The substitute going through now. And John Lynch is going, oh, it's off the crossbar! Charlie Nennigan knew absolutely nothing about it. And that was a let off for Kerry there. We'll talk about it in a minute. It looks to be finished off for a point, but that could have been a goal. That could have been a goal there, I think, because Teddy McCarthy was a dean of it all to pop the ball over the bar. But the ball came back off the crossbar. An absolutely rocket of a shot. Charlie Nennigan never saw what was happening.
Had the goal been scored, there would have been just 3 points in it. That point, though, meant Cork were 5 adrift, 2-8 to 9 points. The gap was down to 4 when Cork registered their 10th point in the 58th minute. 3 minutes from time, Mikey Sheehy brought the gap up to 5. 1 minute later, John Kennedy made it a 6-point game. Kerry had weathered the Cork storm and the Kingdom had retained their Munster title. Ambrose O'Donovan was aware that his teammates had done the business, but it was some time later before he got the complete rundown in proceedings.
I actually came to it about 10 minutes ago, and I was inside the dressing room. Dave was with me, and Dave was in and out. I knew when it was over, and then I was taken away to a room. I was kind of put under observation for a while, and I remember it was, before the game was well over, I came out of Parker Cave. The place was kind of, you know, it was empty. There was only a few stragglers there, and I came down, and I stopped in Ballyvourney, I suppose. So then I got the full rundown of the match, and I met a couple of the boys from the club at home, and I got talking to them. Mary was actually with me. Mary drove down. Dermot Kerris, Mary's father, God rest him, was with us as well. But they were kind of more wary of how I was, rather than telling me about the game. I wanted to know about the match, and they were wondering how I was and how I was feeling. Had I pain in my head and everything else? And of course, I was supposed to abstain from alcohol. And of course, the first thing I knew when I got in the mills was I got a painkiller. I don't know which was hurt more, my jaw or my pride. One of the two was hurt. So I think we had to get painkillers that night anyway, all right.
It emerged in the wake of the final that John Egan had confirmed his inter-county retirement to the county board. Kerry were unchanged for the All-Ireland semi-final against Monaghan. Sean Walsh was among the subs after missing the Munster final through injury. Monaghan raced into a 4-point lead before Kerry finally got on the score sheet 16 minutes after the throw-in. Monaghan were full value for their early advantage, and Kerry were fortunate not to be further behind over the next 2 minutes.
Oh, poor kick out though, and here's the chance for Monaghan. Things aren't going right for Kerry so far. Was that scooped off the ground? The referees says it wasn't. Play on. Kerry defence under serious pressure here now. Here's the chance, and a great save by Charlie Nennigan on the line.
Oh, wonderful save by Nennigan. I think it was Eamon Murphy that got in there to get that goal chance, Gary. He got right inside the Kerry defence. He hit a rocket of a shot. Remember, they're attacking the railway goal here in Simon Crockpound. He just took that ball, got all around the defenders, went inside him, and with the right leg hit a rocket of a shot, and Shannon Elligan threw himself to his right, heavy conditions, ducked the goal mount, and put the ball out for a 45.
So here's McEnany with the socks rolled up around the knees and the white gloves by McEnany. This is looking to be sailing all the way over the barrel. It is McEnany with a brilliant point.
That point had Monaghan ahead by 5 points to 1. The lifeline Kerry were looking for arrived 12 minutes before half time.
Jacko, three of them around him now. They know the danger with which he possesses. Jack O'Shea just wants to get it out of the defence, and now he's cleared it. The bomber will go high. It's broken from him. Who's got the break? Ambrose has got the break. Ambrose now trying to release Pat Spillane. Pat Spillane looking up, lovely little pass to John Kennedy. John Kennedy was going to go for a point. Now he holds a lovely little dummy. Still John Kennedy, but a great block and centre. But Kennedy has the possession back again. Just to hit and high and hope one from John Kennedy off the uprun side. Ger Power is in goal. Yes, Ger Power finishes it off.
Yeah, and that's a goal that Kerry Bandy wants. It's 1-1 to 5 points down. It was John Kennedy once again who made it. He got the ball, turned around, was going to kick for a fine salt. And that's a lovely, beautiful dummy. His man bought it, hoop, line and sinker. Got the ball from the rebound again. The ball came back off the post again. That was a big, high kick by Kennedy. It was sailing into the canal goal. It hit the top of the post, came back down. And it was Joe Powell who was waiting. And Powell just got the ball and with the left leg, rattled the ball into the back of the net. And you could see the raindrops hopping off the net with that goal.
A defensive mistake gifted Monaghan a goal of their own just 3 minutes later. There was no scoring in the closing 9 minutes of the half. At the break, Monaghan led 1-5 to 1-1. Kerry were lucky to be just four behind. Such was Monaghan's dominance. Timmy Dowd was brought on for the second half. The Kerry Man newspaper reported at the time that O'Dowd only got the call to go to the Kerry dressing room after Monaghan had reappeared on the pitch for the second half. O'Dowd pointed 3 minutes after his introduction, doing so after Mikey Sheehy had already put over the opening score of the period. Kerry had made it a 2-point game. Sheehy had a golden opportunity to make it a 1-point game.
And it's going to be close and free here to Kerry, and Owen Liston putting the ball, the Monaghan defence not agreeing with that, but putting it ball on the ground. In fact, for something said, Weeshie, the referee's bringing the ball forward.
Yeah, the referee, because the Monaghan defence were very unhappy with that free. I thought it was a bit harsh, all right. I didn't think they did anything wrong, really. This would be an easy tip over free for Kerry here, but the referee brought the ball forward.
Mikey Sheehy, he's missed it. What a miss by Mikey Sheehy.
Mikey Sheehy, what happened? They are even home on nods. The ball was on the 14-yard line, and Mickey Sheehy came up to do it, actually, and he came up with the right leg. Gary, you could close your eyes and pop that over the bar, which he probably did in his own mind, and pulled the ball wide. Terrible miss by Mickey Sheehy. Most unusual for him.
Sheehy atoned for that miss by putting over 1 minute later. With just 5 minutes gone in the second half, Kerry had reduced the gap to a solitary point. After 43 minutes, Owen Liston pointed to bring Kerry level. Within a minute, Monaghan responded in the best possible fashion.
Kick out once again from Monaghan. This game can go any way so far, and as we continue to say, conditions have not improved at all so far. The kick out again towards the middle of the field. Very, very wet day in this All-Ireland final. It's a great catch outside in the middle of the field, and the ball is driven in long now again inside, and Kerry defence are under pressure. Tom Spillane trying to go for that ball. Tom Spillane is missed and is buried. It's a goal for Monaghan. We see from Eamon Murphy.
Yes, Eamon Murphy, the big Eamon Murphy was inside. That high ball came in. He was kicking into the canal goal and Croke Park, and he went up here outfield to the Kerry defence in the full forward, turned around, and he literally hammered the ball. Kerry are in deep trouble.
That was Monaghan's first score of the second half, coming 9 minutes after the restart. 3 minutes later, Mikey Sheehy put over from a 45. Kerry added two more points and were back on level terms after 52 minutes. 2 minutes on from that equaliser, it looked as though Kerry had taken the lead.
The ball is broken inside their own list and waited for it. Own list across to Ger Power. Ger Power is going through. Oh, he must be a goal. It's gone straight through. It's into the back of the net, but I'm not quite sure we should see allowing it.
Yeah, the referee's gone in. Ger Power's on the ground. I thought it was a legitimate goal. I can't understand why the referee's going to allow. Ger Power's sitting down in the ground. He gets up. He's appealing to the umpires. Watch what happened here, Gary, because Ger Power went in and he was being pulled and dragged, got around his man. Maybe he might have charged at the goalkeeper. In fairness now to the referee, maybe he overheld that ball that little bit. Do you know what? You could argue for and against, but no matter what happens, it is disallowed now.
Ger Power did not agree with the referee's decision.
I remember the goal disallowed and the referee was 100% totally wrong, because he says I barged into the goalie or something like that, like, and I kicked it. He says a free out. He was wrong.
With that score disallowed, the sides were level entering the final quarter of an hour. Those closing 15 minutes were a tit-for-tat affair. Kerry nudged in front.
quickly taken aside there, and out comes Shawnee Walsh. He's just been introduced back to Pat Spillane. Pat Spillane, Kerry need a point from Spillane if they can, with the outside of the right boot. That's a beauty from Pat Spillane.
Lovely point by Pat Spillane, because he didn't kick with his left leg when he should have, as the fella said, but he came back in the right leg, kicked the ball, and Kerry got a point ahead now with that Spillane kick from the outside of his right leg. I was talking to selector Tim Kennelly during the week at training, and he told me this man and team is really going to put it up to Kerry, and do you know what? He was spot on.
It's a free in. Paddy O'Shea has been penalised there for fouling, and it's Eamon McEnany to take this one. He shouldn't have any trouble with this. He floats it over the bar again. This is one hell of a game. Eamon McEnany with a fantastic point.
With the sides tied at 1-9 to 2-6 and 5 minutes remaining, the game was there for the taking.
Nick Spillane nips in. He transfers it on to Jacko. Jacko hits it high. It's Corley with every inch. It's beautifully pinned over the bar. Jack O'Shea.
Yeah, well, I'm saying about players getting tired, but Jack O'Shea isn't getting tired. That man is pouring all over the field. That man must have an engine inside in his chest instead of a heart.
And Charlie plays it outside to Paddy O'Shea, but the referee's business gone.
Charlie Lennigan came out to pick the ball clean off the ground and famous. You could see it straight away as soon as he did that. I saw Mark Gallivan, the treasurer of the county board, when that happened. I saw him jump up and put his hands over his head. He knew from where he was. Definitely the referee is spot on. Charlie Lennigan shaking his head. Gary, that was a terrible mistake by the Castle Island Desmonds men.
And it should be tipped over by Eamon McEnany. Jerlin shaking his head as well on the line. They can't believe that that was the most easiest free to give away. There's about 7 Kerry players on the goal line, and it's tipped over the bar by Eamon McEnany.
It was now 1-10 to 2-7 with only 3 minutes to go.
Ger Power picks it up for Kerry. Ger Power releases Jacko. Can he get a point, a second point in the trot? Can he? What? Then a great score from Jacko.
Gary, that was an absolutely superb point. Jack O'Shea, what a wonderful player he is. What a great game he's having. It was Ger Power got it. He had a look at the post, was going to shoot. He saw Jacko running inside him, and he turned around and with the right leg from away out the feed. That was an absolutely stupendous point.
And away comes Newley Hughes. After him there is Mick Spillane, and after him is Paddy O'Shea, and Mick Spillane is absolutely little. He says that wasn't a free in.
Well, Gary, I think it wasn't fairness there. He was pulling and dragging Newley Hughes.
This to level it again. Are we level again in Croke Park? We are indeed.
The score read 1-11 to 2-8 as play entered the final minute.
Ambrose now playing the ball inside here again. Was that a foul in the Kerry man? There was. Ger Power's gone down just outside the 45 or 47 metres out, and this is the one that would put Kerry through surely to the All-Ireland final of 1985. It's sailing home from Mikey Sheehy.
Kerry were a point in front, 1-12 to 2-8. The game went into injury time. The Kingdom were within touching distance of the All-Ireland final. The Fat Lady was about to belt out her first note when
David Murphy, Tom Spillane and Ger Power with him very near the sideline. He said 60 yards out from goal. Was he put out over the line? The referee says it's going to be free on the sideline here. We should have got 50 yards out to Monaghan.
Yes, indeed, because the Monaghan had the ball, and actually the referee is bringing the free. He had blown the whistle earlier before Ger Power fouled his man, Gary. This is outside the 45-metre line. He's kicking into the canal goal. This is an absolutely massive kick for him, because it could be the last kick of the game.
Eamon McEnany, probably we will have no more after this. It's looking good. Oh my God, it's sailing all the way over the bar. We're level again.
What an absolutely superb kick by McEnany. If we thought Mickey Sheehy was the ace free kicker, McEnany came up outside the 45 metre line and he literally kicked that ball into the canal hill. That was an absolutely superb point.
The greatest day. The story of Kerry's 36 All-Ireland football titles. Brought to you in association with Kerry Group, proud sponsors of all inter-county GAA teams. Part 2.
It's looking good. Oh my God, it's sailing all the way over the bar. We're level again.
What an absolutely superb kick by McEnany. If we thought Mickey Sheehy was the ace free kicker, McEnany came up outside the 45 metre line and he literally kicked that ball into the canal hill. That was an absolutely superb point.
Ambrose O'Donovan was in awe of that Monaghan equaliser.
It was a fantastic kick by Eamon McEnany, to be fair to him. It was a great free. Fantastic free. I mean, he split the upper with Tommy Dyle. Was marking him that day. I'll never forget Tommy Dyle's face. You know, when your man kicked it, he was coming into the pitch, and he was kind of saying to me, if he's there for another 20 years, he wouldn't kick it. And he said the same thing to McEnany. We would have met him below in the Ashling Hotel after. That was a good Monaghan team. They'd won the league, and we had played each other a few times. We actually went up to play them in Castle Blaney, and we would have met them on occasion. And they were nice fellas. Newdy Hughes, they were all good footballers. Hugo Clarkin was midfield that time, very good player as well. You know, Ryan McCartan, they had a couple of good players. McEnany, as I say, they had a good team. you know, to have no flash dependent, they won a league title. But I mean, they put it up to us in 85.
Despite Monaghan needing that late chance to equalise, John Kennedy feels they should have actually won.
Kerry were very lucky to come over that to get a draw, really. I suppose Eamon McEnany kicked a massive free to equalise it. But having said that, it was one of the games that Kerry were lucky to come out of after getting the fright. The replay, Kerry won it, and they were probably always going to win it because Monaghan had probably lost their chance. But that was a very good Monaghan side. They had some fantastic individual footballers, you know, McEnany there, you know, Nudie Hughes, Ray McCadden, McCarville, you know, they were fantastic players, Hugo Clerkin, they were all very, very good footballers, and they had come through Ulster, and which was always tough. On the first day, they probably should have won and got an All-Ireland final, and they didn't. And, you know, as had been proved, Kerry, through the years, like when you get a second chance, Kerry take it.
Ambrose O'Donovan argued that Kerry knew fully well what to expect from Monaghan that day, and they were proved right.
People said we nearly got caught by Monaghan. We didn't. We knew of Monaghan, and we knew the threat that they posed. You know, that the league wasn't a flash in the pan, and they had trained very hard. And under McCaig was another very cute manager, very astute man, and a good reader of the game as well. So under him, and they had trained very professionally as well. Monaghan, what was out here that they'd gone actually for weekends away and things like that, which was totally and utterly new for Ulster teams to be doing that at that stage. But Monaghan did it, so we knew we were under no illusion at all about them. But they gave a good performance and gave a very good course themselves. But I think, you know, we actually got the better of them in the replay. It was an easier touch than what we expected, being honest.
For the replay, Kerry drafted in Sean Walsh and Timmy Dowd. Walsh was back after injury. He'd come on in the drawn match against Monaghan. Tom Spillane was released from full-back duty, and John Higgins dropped to the bench. O'Dowd came in for John Kennedy. Kennedy has no qualms about his omission.
My form wasn't as, you know, he had dipped slightly, and I wouldn't have any query or I wouldn't have any argument about it, really, because there was guys there. Policy with the Wild, if you were going well, you pick guys in form. My form had dipped okay in Munster, but you know, I didn't really perform in the Monaghan games, and deservedly, I think, was dropped for that.
The replay was a polar opposite of the drawn encounter. This time out, Kerry took the game to their opponents. Two Pat Spillane points put Kerry in front. The tally was added to 9 minutes in.
Timmy Dowd is back to goal. Drive it long. The bomber is up high for this one. Up goes O'Liston. Plays it back. O'Liston with a chance. And O'Liston through the legs of the Monaghan goalie, and a goal for Kerry.
Yes, indeed. Wonderful goal by O'Liston. He went up and cut the ball over. There was three defenders there with him. He came down and he turned around with the left leg. He kind of scrambled it in and went in under the goalkeeper's legs. But it was his height and it was his strength that made that from the high kick in from the Tralee man. And really, the goalkeeper maybe should have saved it, because it wasn't a great kick, Gary, but it went right under his legs.
Monaghan were shell-shocked. After just 10 minutes, Kerry led by 6 points, 1-3 to no score. The tide looked to be turning, however, as the half wore on. Kerry lost Tommy Doyle through injury. Worse was to follow in the 20th minute.
There's something happening right underneath us here, Gary, in front now, because the Monaghan full-back McCarville has gone down, and he's on his knees. He's complaining about something. Bob O'Liston is walking away from him. The referee is going in to talk to the umpire, and the linesman is also wants to get involved with this. We didn't see what happened. We were following. Yeah, the linesman has his flag up.
And now the referee is looking for someone, and he's coming down to his linesman here. He'd be a big loss, Mishy, if anything happens here.
Yes, he'd be huge loss, because the referee has spoken to the umpire. Now he has to speak to the linesman. He's gone over to Liston. He's looking up at him, not looking down at him. He's looking up at him. Liston has his hands in his hips. He's saying something to the referee. What's going to happen here, Gary? Because something happened off the ball.
Meanwhile, John Higgins is off. He's been sent off. O'Liston has got off the Kerry team. John Higgins comes in. Pat Spillane trying to change the referee's mind. But O'Liston is being sent off the Kerry team.
Ambrose O'Donovan believes the sending off of Liston actually worked to their advantage and kept them focused.
I think the fact that Bomber, we lost Bomber, I felt Bomber was very hard done that day. You know, I genuinely do. I thought it was a real injustice, because he wasn't that type of player. And I mean, you know, McCarville, like, we drove him on that time. As far as a couple of us had a cut off him for the finish that day, but it drove us on too, in fairness. We said we can't lose this now with Bomber, because Bomber was a real intricate part of the team, and he was a great team man, like, and very good footballer as well. But we felt it was hard done by us. We said it was a bit of an injustice, so that drove us on even more. Possibly if Bomber hadn't left the pitch, it would have been a closer game. I think everyone set up the game that little bit more when we saw Bomber being sent off.
Monaghan had yet to score. At this stage, the Kerry posts were in greater danger from the kingdom themselves.
And it's Monaghan who are going to attack again now. They seem to launch the high ball inside. Shawnee Welch will go up for the Shawnee Welch. Drops it almost inside into the net, Weishi. Very nearly an own goal.
Yeah, that was very good save by Shawnee Welch. The high ball came into dropping under the crossbar. Shawnee Welch went up, cut it. Unusually for him, he fumbled it, and the ball came down. It was nearly gone into the back of the net, but it wasn't gone in because Shawnee Welch was on the ball.
A narrow escape for Kerry. Monaghan were not nearly as lucky down the other end.
Tom Spillane taking on the other centre-half back. Still Tom Spillane going through. Plays it inside.
to Ger Power. Ger Power walking his way in, has gone past to them. Ger Power is in on goal and he's got it. Ger Power, the brilliant goal for Kerry.
Oh, great goal for Kerry. The arm started behind the back with Jack O'Shea. Jack O'Shea fielded brilliantly in the middle of the goal. It went up to Spillane. Spillane went through, gave it to Ger Power, and Ger Power just went around. What a wonderful tunnel speed he has. He's very fast from his starting position. Got away from his two men, but it was Tom Spillane. He was the man that made it. He was being pulled and dragged past the ball, off the ball. Paul got the ball, turned around, was going to kick it, hopped it once and just ghosted inside two men, and without any hesitation at all, just crashed the ball into the back of the net between the post and the goalkeeper, keeping the goalkeeper no chance at all whatsoever.
It was now Kerry 2-3, Monaghan no score. Under normal circumstances, it would be seen as game over, but this time it was different. Kerry had the handicap of playing with a man less for the remainder of the game. Players and supporters alike could also recall Monaghan's never-say-die attitude of the drawn match. Sure enough, Monaghan finally imposed themselves in the game. They had 4 points in a row to close the gap to five. Kerry didn't score again in this half. At the short whistle, it was 2-3 to Kerry, Monaghan 4 points. Monaghan failed to capitalise on the extra man in the second period. Monaghan didn't register a second-half score until the 10th minute. Ger Power responded to that, and Kerry maintained their 6 points advantage. The Kingdom did not score again until the 23rd minute of the half. That point followed two from Monaghan, so the scoreboard read 2-5 to 8 points in Kerry's favour. Another Kerry point kept the Northerners at distance in what was a relatively low-scoring half. David Byrne and Mikey Sheehy proceeded to swap points, leaving Kerry 6 points to the good as time ticked away. Monaghan brought the gap down to four. Whatever little chance they may have had disappeared when, with 3 minutes to go, Hugo Clerken was dismissed for striking Ger Power. The honour of closing the scoring fell to Mikey Sheehy. Kerry progressed on a scoreline of 2-9 to 10 points. The following week's Kerryman newspaper reported how the main gates at Croke Park were closed an hour before the match. In the same edition of the Kerryman, then County Board Chairman Frank King denied a deal had been done to enable Owen Liston and Ogie Moran line out for Kerry against Monaghan in the replay. Liston and Moran's club Bale had asked them not to play in protest of the club's treatment by the board. Bale and the County Board were at loggerheads over disciplinary issues which arose from a match between Bale and South Kerry. Owen Liston was stuck in the middle of the disagreement.
We had to make a decision, and we know we had the backing of a lot of the players and the members for the decision we took.
Dublin also needed a replay to progress to the final. Second day out, they saw off Mayo, 2-12 to 1-7. Ambrose O'Donovan was relishing the prospects of facing the Dubs once more.
There was something about a Kerry Dublin clash that time, you know, it was special, and I think, you know, if the 70s was still being played out big time down here, and the Kerry and Dubs rivalry and all the rest of it. And we'd felt, you know, people had said in 84 that Dublin had underachieved and underperformed, and, you know, Kerry weren't as good as people thought they were. And then that hurt. It hurt a lot of fellas in the team. I remember people saying, you know, what's this again, all like, you know. And that time, Dublin was real hype with the Dublin machine, I suppose. We don't see it as much now because they don't get to our Ireland finals as much. But there was ferocious hype about that Dublin team. And I suppose Heffernan, being Kevin Heffernan, I suppose he was a legend above in Dublin, of course, and regarded as a great manager. But I mean, this thing of Dublin underperforming in 84, I think it was. And in fairness, they gave us a good run in 85 now. You know, it was a tough enough game. They came back at us well, but there was a stage there in the second half where we kind of lost our way a little bit.
1985 was the year of the famous Bendix ad, while Kerry also wore Adidas gear, courting controversy. In fact, the Kerryman newspaper reported ahead of the All-Ireland final how selector Joe Cahan refused to pose for the Adidas team photo due to Cahan's disapproval of Kerry GAA's association with a foreign company. Kerry trainer Mick O'Dwyer says the benefits of switching to Adidas were there for all to see.
Adidas got on to us and they asked us would we wear their gear. So we said we certainly would, provided that they'd see after us. So I remember well, Michael O'Connell was in charge of Adidas at the time, and he said, OK, Mick, if you wear our gear, we'll give you 19,000, which was a lot of money that time for a holiday when we were going for a trip around the world. And we got on to O'Neill's at the time, and O'Neill's just decided to give us, I think, was it £100 at the time. So that was a pretty big difference. So we made it a point to players, and we got together and we decided, yes, we're going to wear Adidas, and which we did.
Jack O'Shea had no qualms with participating in the Bendix washing machine ad.
Bendix were helping us to with our funds. Make quite a way of getting around all these companies to raise funds for us to go on holidays. And like, we used to meet early on in the year, and he'd always say somewhere, where do we go this year, how will we plan this year? And I think it was the kind of beginning of teams getting respected by a lot of these. You know, we were we were promoting a lot of stuff unknown to ourselves. Like, we were delighted to be getting a bit of gear here and there, but like, we were doing a huge amount of promotion at the time, and I suppose it was only about time that the team in general were benefiting from things like this. And there was some great fun about the Bendix washing machine ads that went on the TV and all that, and it was, I think we were all standing around the TV with no shirts and us and all this sort of stuff. It was unique at the time, but it was you know, the money was very welcome to the training fund, and we actually had great, you know, great fun over all them things.
Long time Kerry supporter Tom Hurley, he believes Kerry were entitled to do their own fundraising.
It was a good friend of mine in Castlade, and he carried in the washing machine. He told me, he got a phone call one evening and to have a washing machine inside Nassenside Park at 5 o'clock. He got in anyway. So a couple of days after, the furore broke out, like, you know. There it was. And Kerry were the cleanest team in the country at the time.
The greatest day. The story of Kerry's 36 All-Ireland football titles. Brought to you in association with Kerry Group. Proud sponsors of all inter-county GAA teams. Part 3.
For the 1985 final, Kerry gave the expected vote of confidence to the 15 who had seen off Monaghan. Kerry went in front inside 30 seconds with Jack O'Shea pointing. Barney Rock equalised after 2 minutes. The opening minutes of this final were only about one man, though.
Still on list, and three of them around him. Loses his footing. Brian Mullins is one of them. He plays it out to his right again to Ambrose. Ambrose back to Jacko. He's already got the first point. Now he's steadying himself for the second point. Jack O'Shea again from play. 2 points to Jacko, 2 points to Kerry. Missed by the Dublin man and picked up by Timmy Dowd. Timmy Dowd with the ball. Timmy Dowd played outside to his right to the Bomber. Bomber inside. There's a man that's made it run. There's Ger Power. Ger Power surely must be pulled and dragged. That's a penalty, I'd say, Weeshie, for Kerry.
Yeah, that's a penalty, but a nice move by Kerry. Probably the best move of the game, the hole into the field. It went up and we finished with Ger Power inside in the big square, and Ger Power was turning around. Even though, Gary, I tell you the truth, he didn't go to ground or anything. It was in one way, it was a little bit harsh, I thought, that if the referee didn't give it, you'd hardly argue with it. However, that's happened. Said that, it's going to be a penalty for Kerry, and I think Jack O'Shea is going to take it.
He is indeed. He's already got 2 points from play. Now, can he make it 1-2? Jacko, remember, Kerry missed the 82 final. Mikey Sheehy missed it against Martin Furlong. 3 years later, Jacko's not going to miss. Great finish by the St. Mary's man.
After 10 minutes, it was Kerry, or Jack O'Shea, 1-2, to Dublin's 1 point, and Jacko was not done with the scoring yet.
So Mikey Sheehy now to take this 45 kick. The left knee bandage slipped. He's going to take it quickly. In fact, he does. Takes it to Jacko. Back to Sheehy. Out to his left to Tommy Doyle. He's come up from right half back, and Tommy Doyle lands one over the bar. Great score from the oldest stall man. Pat Canavan drives it high. What a catch by Pat Spillane in the middle of the field for Kerry. He is injured at the moment, yes, and Mick, the brother, goes in to check on his welfare, and Tom takes the free. So the three Spillanes are involved in this, and Tom drives it long again for the Bomber. He is absolutely beaten Jerry Hargan out the gate, and here comes Jack Ogan. Identical position from the first two. That's 1-3 from Jack O'Shea. Weishie, that's some return.
Oh, that's a superb point by Jack O'Shea. Bomber listen, fielded the ball high, turn around, saw Jack O'Shea coming, and whatever Jack O'Shea, he has this innate ability of being able to run into the open space. He can time his run absolute perfect, and he's a master at that. Run into the open space, took the pass from Bomberliston, and kicking into the railway goal, swung the ball over the bar. Great point by the Castlevine man.
Just a quarter of an hour gone, and Kerry were already 6 in front, 1-4 to 1 point. 2 Mikey Sheehy frees and another point courtesy of Ogie Moran stretched the lead to 9 by the 27th minute. Tommy Carr was then responsible for Dublin's second point of the half. In the 31st minute, Pat Spillane had the final point of the half. The score stood at 1-8 to 2 points in Kerry's favour at the break. While Dublin kept Kerry scoreless for the opening 13 minutes of the second half, the Leinster champions tagged on 3 points of their own. The deficit was down to 6 points, but even at this early stage, it all seemed relatively academic. Especially so when the Kingdom finally secured their first score of the half.
Here's Nelligan, the Castle Island Baker, drives it outside to the left-hand side. It's Ambrose O'Donovan who wins the ball over there in front of Frindon Foe, ahead of Jim Ronan, and plays it back to John Lynch. Lynch from Valencia plays it back to Ambrose. Ambrose back to Lynch. This is a great run out by the wing back. Was going to pass it. Now it was going to pass it again. Took another hop. Lynch with a perfect pass to Timmy Dowd. Timmy Dowd is in on goal. Oh, what a finish by Timmy Dowd. But what a pass from John Lynch.
Oh, that was a cracking finish by Timmy Dowd. Lovely point. Ambrose O'Donovan started off in the middle of the field, gave the ball to John Lynch, and John Lynch just knifed his way through the Dublin defence. Wonderful run by the Valencia man. He soloed left, soloed right, hopped the ball, and he was looking for someone to pass it all the time. And Timmy Dowd ran on into the open space in front, kicking into the canal goal. He ran on, collected the ball, and with a beautiful touch of his right leg, put the ball past John O'Leary, low into the corner net. That was a classic. That was a superb goal.
That goal should have been the beginning of the end for Dublin, who were now trailing by 2-8 to 5 points. However, in almost every match, a team gets some period of dominance. Dublin's time was coming. While the Kingdom would not score for the next 16 minutes, Dublin, in the meantime, made significant inroads into that 9-point deficit.
Timmy Dow trying to hold on to it, unable to do it, and Mick Kennedy is the man who nips in. Mick Kennedy now drives it long. Three or four players goes up, and it's broken out to Joe McNally. Joe McNally into the back of the net. Charlie Nelligan knew nothing about it.
Yeah, that was a bad mistake by the Kerry defence, because they all went up for the ball there. They left McNally inside, all in his own. The ball broke into him. He'd no one to beat on Charlie Nelligan inside in the Kerry goal, and he was just pipe-blanking. He hit the ball. The ball hit the other side of the crossbar. An absolutely bullet of a shot, and Charlie Nelligan came out to mark him, but the ball broke in, and there was bad defending there. And when he kicked the ball, Nelligan came out, collided with McNally, he upscuttled him, the ball finished up without the back of the net. The green flag has gone up. Kerry lead by 2-8 to 1-5.
Two Dublin points made it a 4-point game with 10 minutes remaining. Kerry were on the ropes, and 4 minutes later suffered another potentially fatal blow.
Very near the sideline, Tommy Carr gathers it ahead of Tommy Doyle and plays it back now once again. Now, can Dublin respond from this? Can they get something else? John Kennedy after his man, unable to get it first time. There's still Dublin attacking that here now. And John Kennedy really put back as a defensive role. Here's the ball driven in by John Cairns. John Cairns, another high ball inside again. They're watching inside. Up goes John McNally! Oh, what a flick by McNally! And Nelligan is saying he wasn't a square, but I think it'll be allowed.
Yeah, well, it's going to be allowed, Gary, but I talk myself from where we are here. It was definitely, he was definitely in the square. The big high ball came in, and McNally was flanked in the Belgian square. Charlie Nelligan is doing his nut inside with the goalkeeper with the white coat on him, and he just stands there, stony-faced, hands behind the head. The high ball came in, and I thought myself anywhere from where we were that McNally was absolutely flanked inside the Virgin Square, and he just got his fist to the ball, low into the back of the net, goal for Dublin.
Substitute John Kennedy holds his hand up to being at fault for this goal.
I got a ball and I saw Jacko moving, and I kicked it into space, and there was a breakdown in communication anyway. The ball was lost and up the field, and I think John McNally put it in the net. Suddenly, all of a sudden, you could see the wire was on the line, and he was pretty vocal, and we were under pressure, and it looks as if we were going to be in trouble.
Kerry had been 9 points up approaching the midway mark of the second half. Now, with 7 minutes remaining, the difference between the teams was a solitary point. It was 2-8 to 2-7 in Kerry's favour. Kingdom goalkeeper Charlie Nelligan admits that thoughts of what happened in 82 and 83 were in his mind at this time.
It was bound to be. The Dubs were a machine. They were like cock, you know. If things are going wrong for you at all, they could go drastically wrong. And it was happening to go on. They got the goal. They got the second goal shortly after. And, you know, once that happens, like, you were gone from whatever it was, 9 points down to 2 or 3 or something. And, you know, I think Joe Lynch had a blinder that day as well. Joe set up Timmy Dow for the goal, I think. Things were inclined to slip that day, all right. Lucky out at Paddy, and he got a little bit of a jitter. I'd say he thought that he wouldn't be seeing himself walking up the steps for a while, but he put a handle on it anyway, and we drove on. I think Joe McNally got 2 goals that day. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I think we were all a little bit jittery after that.
Kerry forward Ger Power was confident the team had the personnel to recover.
Well, I think the team that time wouldn't have panicked anyway. They'd relaxed, like, you know. They had the ability, especially up front, they had the ability to get the scores, like, you know. And I think that was, you had six forwards had the ability to get the vital scores at the vital time, like, which was a big help, like, you know. It wouldn't be always the same fella on the one day, like, you know.
The Kingdom steadied the ship a minute later. A Kerry point, only their second score of the second half, arrived from a Mikey Sheehy free. Dublin went down the other end, Barney Rock putting over a free to make it a 1-point game again. In the 31st minute, Kerry led 2-9 to 2-8. Entering the 33rd minute, the scoreline remained unchanged. That was until one of the all-time greats showed just why he was considered so.
John Kennedy gathers the ball in his half-back, and I'll say to Paddy O'Shea, those two goals from Dublin have rocked Kerry. Now they're only hanging on for a team that were coasting. Tommy Doyle now has broken the tackle. Back again to Kennedy. The hits are going in, and the gander now is with Dublin, and Pat Canavan is trying to get the ball back from John Kennedy. Kennedy keeps it in place, soccer style, very near the side, and Ambrose O'Donovan goes in to help him. But again, it's the Dublin half-back, and now they're rampant back there. Kerry have really suffered in the last few minutes. Jacko misses it. It goes high again. Dalton missing it though. It's Tom Spillane. He gets there ahead of Barney Rock. But Kerry are only hanging on, are we, Sheehy?
Yeah, indeed. But Tom Spillane is playing outstanding well centre back, because Dublin have the win behind them, as the fella says now, and they're coming forward. There's only just a couple of points in it, and really this is going to go right down to the wire. But Kerry, they're renowned, this particular team are renowned for holding out. They're very strong finishers.
It's going to be a free, I think, over there. Jerry Hargan is being penalised for pushing Ambrose O'Donovan. Ambrose is limping a little bit now. He's gone in at full forward, and Jerry Hargan is marking him, and this is a free, and it's going to be a vital free. And is it going to be John Kennedy to take it? Well, we'll remain and wait and see. In fact, it's Ger Lynch, I think, that's going to take it. Ger Lynch is taking this one over near the far sideline. So the Valencia man, what a great pass it was, that led up that goal for Timmy Dowd. Is driven long, but Terry Beaton doing it again and again. Pat Canavan coming out ahead of John Kennedy. Pat Canavan wins it. Tom Spillane going for it. Was it touched on the ground? Maybe by Spillane, maybe by the Bomber. Neither says both, and the referee, the booze goes in from the Dublin supporters. Back now to Ger Lynch. On his right is Pat Spillane saying it to Tom, leave it to me. If Kerry ever needed a point, they need it now. Pat Spillane now just 45 yards out from goal, looking good, landing on top of the net. What a point from Pat Spillane.
Come at the man, and once again it was a tip below man. Bomber Listen got out in the middle of the field, got the ball, turned around, gave the ball to Spillane. Spillane took three or four solos with the ball, and from well out the field with that trademark superb kicking style. What a wonderful kicker of the ball is Spillane. Landed the ball on top of the net. Great point.
2-10 to 2-8 as we approach the final few minutes.
Kerry had a precarious lead of 2 points, the most dangerous advantage of all. Dublin would need a goal if they were to prevail. Thankfully, it was not forthcoming, as the Kingdom ensured victory.
John O'Leary once again with the kick out towards the middle of the field. Again, a majestic catch by Jack O'Shea. That's some catch, Richie.
That's an absolutely superb feeling. I tell you the truth, you're travelling a long ways. We've seen a lot of football. We've seen a lot of great feeling. But that catch by Jack O'Shea, and it was so vital when Dublin tried to come back. Wonderful feeling by Jacko.
He was back there in 78 to win his medal. He's hoping to win another one. 7 years later, Tom Spillane drives it long inside. It's a 2-point lead for Kerry. Noel McCaffrey plays it once again now. John Kearns driving it long inside again to the Kerry defence. Very similar to the last time, it's broken down. But Jack O'Shea now has moved from midfield way back to the centre half back position. He's covering into Pat Spillane, is well back there outside to Pardy. Pardy outside to the Bomber. The Bomber, all the main players have gone deep. Jacko, Bomber, and so too Spillane. Ambrose not able to get a lovely chip up by Sheehy. Sheehy to Ambrose. Ambrose to Timmy Dowd. John Kennedy's inside, and this will wrap it up. Surely a goal, and Dowd takes his point.
Yeah, Timmy Dowd takes his point there, but once again, lovely move by Kerry. Ambrose all the way, gave the ball to Mickey Sheehy. Mickey Sheehy into Timmy Dowd, and the two Tralemen tying up there. Timmy Dowd had a goal. It's 2-11 to 2-8. Timmy Dowd had the opportunity for a goal. No, he says he took it, chipped the ball over the bar. Lovely point, vital point. 2-11 to 2-8. Kerry heading towards their victory.
Kerry heading towards their second All-Ireland final in a row. They have weathered the storm, to be fair, but those 2 goals from Joe McNally brought the Dubs right back into it. Mikey Sheehy almost robbed his man in the middle of the field. Dublin now certainly need another goal. Jacko's gone away back defensively. Kearns grabs it though. John Kearns, the Garda, inside. Oh, he's overcooked it. Looking for Tommy Conroy, and is picked up by Tom Spillane. Tom out to Jacko. Another point, you'd feel, and they'd be home and dry, but they lead by 2. Jacko plays it outside now to John Kennedy, the substitute introduced. Mick O'Dwyer is shouting frantically in the sideline for players to go back. Kennedy inside to Timmy Dowd. Timmy Dowd back to John Kennedy. He'll try from here. John Kennedy, and that looks to be the insurance point for Kerry for their second All-Ireland in a row.
Great play by Kennedy, because he was involved out the field. He was involved at the very end, took the link up, and Kennedy right through, straight and through over the bar there. Great point by the Ashdeen, and wonderful play by Kerry. They're finishing strong. They're finishing like a train. People said after 1982 that this team was finished. They're far from finished, because they're going for their second in the row All-Ireland now.
2-12 to 2-8 was how it finished. The Sam Maguire would rest in the Kingdom for another 12 months at least.
You've been listening to The Greatest Day, a 36-part series documenting the story of Kerry's All-Ireland Senior Football Championship victories. The Greatest Day was presented by John Drummy, written by Joe O'Mahony, and researched and produced by the Radio Kerry Sports team. This programme was made with the support of the Broadcasting Authority of Ireland Sound and Vision Scheme.